Okay, we are really getting stuck into the parsha, as we did start last week, Parsha's Truma. And last week we read the first few psukim of Parsha's Truma, and we saw how this parsha, as we said, is, as we know, this is the parsha of the Mishkan. That's really the theme of the parsha, which in Parsha's Truma itself, it will actually be extremely detailed about specifically the kelim, the vessels which go into the Mishkan. But this part that we are reading, good morning, is the introduction. Because this is the part where the Jewish people have to first donate everything, all of the different items, in order to be able to build the Mishkan. So in this part, the first 10-11 psukim, it actually contains all the things that they donated, not just for what they need in Parshas Truma, but as well as what they need in Parshas Tetzaveh, because it's also the materials for all of the clothing of the Kayin and the Kayin Gadol. So you have all the different materials listed, and that's what we began to read last time. So now we're going to finish those few psukim, and then we're going to go more in depth. Because last week we did a little bit in depth, but this week I want to do more layers of what it really, really means. And as I said last week, these really probably will end up being the last few psukim that will do so much in depth in this way, because then what we're going to do is more overall each of the different kelim and what they signify. Not exact every single pasuk, perhaps. Okay, but for this, we're still taking apart the actual psukim. Okay, so we did read, as we said last week, until pasuk hey. So let's continue, and we will come back, but let's continue. So they're bringing all the different trumas, and we were listing all the different items, and we read, I'm just looking until where we read. It's a good question. And we said last week, truma actually can either be to lift, but here it means to set aside a portion. So it's the donations that they give to the Mishkan that they set aside, and then they designate it and give it to Hashem. Okay, so let's see. We can start in Pasuk Hey. We'll just continue reading and read, as I said, to Pasuk Yud Aleph, and then we'll go in depth. So again, these are the list of the items. There's either 13 or 15, depending how you count them. And as we said, so it's page 322, if you turn your booklet, Pasuk Hey, v'ayres eilam ma'adomim, and ram skins that were dyed red, v'ayres tchashim, and these tchashim skins, and we did mention last time that the tchash was this special type of, fish animal that was only available at that time, and that's what gave them the special dye. V'atzei shittim, we'll see a little more in depth about the special atzei shittim, but the atzei shittim are these special cedar woods. Shemen lama'ar, the special oil for the menorah. Bisamim lashemen hamishcha, all of the different spices that they used for the raising of the smoke of the incense. Ulukteris hasamim, sorry, for the anointing oil and for the raising of the smoke of the incense. So all the different, these are just the different items. Like I said, we're going to go back soon. I just want to continue to see the last few. Pasuk Zayin, which is 323. Avnei Shoyhan, they had different precious stones. Interesting that these are listed last. Gold, silver, copper first, then all the different dyed wools, and then the oil and the incense. And now we come back to precious stones, Avnei Shoyhan, which, as they say, the Shoyhan stones, the Avnei Miluyim, and the filling stones. The Avnei Shoyhan were the two stones that went onto the ephod, which was the apron that the Kohen Gadol wore, so on his shoulders. The Avnei Miluyim, those are the special stones that went into the Choshen, on the breastplate, and then, as he says, La'ephod v'la'choshen. Then this next pasuk, which of course is one of the most famous psukim in the whole Torah, V'asuli mikdash v'shachanti b'soicham. Now that you've donated all of these items, you've designated, you've set them aside, you've given them, now we can obviously build what? What are they for? They shall make for me a sanctuary. And this is actually the command to build a mikdash. And what will happen? V'shachanti b'soicham, and I will dwell amongst you. Then he says, the last, just want to read, I say one more puzzle. K'chol asherani mara oischa. Everything that I show you, do, like, in other words, he's telling Moshe Rabbeinu to do exactly as I show you, right, in conformance to what I show you. Estavnis hamishkan, the form of the mishkan, v'estavnis kol kelav, and the form of all of the vessels, v'chein tasu, and so you shall do. Okay, all very nice. Let's understand what's really happening here. One of the big big undercurrent questions that people have, and a lot of the commentaries talk about this when you read this parsha, is we have just come from the Aseres HaDibros. Not long before, actually the end of Parshas Mishpatim, so it's really right before. And we know that what was the first and second of the Aseres HaDibros? I am Hashem, your God, and you shouldn't have any other gods. What does that mean, you shouldn't have any other gods? On a simple level, it's talking about making any forms, any sculptures or any idols, any physical forms that represent God. Then we come to Parshas Truma, and this is the most physical, technical parsha that there is in the Torah. Of what? Creating a place, a physical place, with physical objects, which it seems to be that they are where, this is where we're going to come worship Hashem, Hashem is going to be revealed. How does that work? What? Contradiction seems quite the contradiction. Fascinating thing. So what we really have to understand, and slowly we'll dig away at it, is what does the Mishkan really represent? How come we have these physical objects? Shouldn't, nowadays we have a lot less of that, because we know that now instead of the karbanos we daven, so in a sense we're almost more spiritual in a sense than the actual physical. We're lucky enough we have the kaisel, we go to one place, you know, that we can say this is, you know, but otherwise we really don't have. So it's very interesting that this is the ideal, as we say, because that's what we're all davening for, is the third Beis HaMikdash, which will be in a sense the completion of the Mishkan, the first Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash, the third is the ultimate, as we say. How does it work? Why? What's the meaning? What's the depth? What does it mean to us? And especially what we're going to have to understand, and this is something that I hopefully we'll be able to get through each of the lessons, especially because nowadays we don't have a Mishkan and we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. A lot of these things seem quite irrelevant to us. Nice to learn about it, always interesting, but what does it have to do with my life? And that's something very important for us to see, how every single aspect of the, even the Mishkan, which was only temporary, but definitely of the Beis HaMikdash, is eternal for each and every one of us. So that's what we're also going to have to see. How does that work? Okay, so I'm going to give you, there are a few Rashis actually that we didn't. I'm just thinking, maybe we'll just do, you know, we'll do these sheets and then we'll go back to the Rashis that we need to. I'm sorry to hand out more sheets. And these are the Mefarshim that I want to see inside. Thank you. You can take a few here. We'll just take a pile here. And here, take one. All transfer, yeah. But how? We have to understand more. Yeah, you're right. 100%. B'tochan. That's it. That's what we have to know. How exactly? How does it work? Okay. So let's go in here. First, we'll see on the top of your sheets, number one has a Ramban. So let's see something. So we have a Ramban. And the Ramban is a very famous Ramban, which is right here at the beginning of Parshas Truma. And he explains actually beautifully a general message of what the Mishkan is, and especially why it follows immediately after the whole experience of Har Sinai. So if you look on number one, we'll read, and like I said, any questions, ask. If it's not clear, please don't hesitate to ask. Okay, Vayikhuli. So the pasuk says, take from me. Ka'asher dibur Hashem im Yisrael ponim biponim aseres hadibres. Just like Hashem spoke to the Jewish people face to face the Ten Commandments, v'tziva oisam al yedei Moshe k'tzatz, and they were commanded through Moshe Rabbeinu some of the mitzvahs, which are like, if you want to say, the fathers, which mean they include, they're the general mitzvahs, which include all of the other mitzvahs of the Torah. Kaasher hinhigu rabbeinu im hagerim sheba'im lihisyahe. It's very, very beautiful, interesting thing he says here, that when Moshe Rabbeinu taught the Jewish people initially, or when they heard the Aseres HaDibros from Hashem and from Moshe, it's almost like, you, if you want to say, it's an abbreviated form. And it's similar, the Ramban says, to when somebody wants to come and convert. So first you tell him all of the main things, or it's for all of us as we are learning slowly. So we get, you know, the general, and then afterwards you get the more specific and the more detailed and the deeper layers. So this is how it worked then. So he says, V'Yisrael kiblu aleihem la'aseis kol ma she'yitzavum al yadoi shel Moshe, and the Bnei Yisrael accepted to do everything that they were commanded by Moshe Rabbeinu, the Koreis Imahem Bris, and we said last time that they made a special covenant al Kolzeh. Now he says, Me'ata hine heim loy la'am, now we are Hashem's nation, v'hu lahem lalekim, and Hashem is our God. Kasher hitna imahem etchila, just like he made the condition at the beginning. And it's psukim that we know at the, just before Matan Torah, v'atem shomayet tishmu b'kaili, if you will listen to my voice, u'shmartem esprisi, and keep my covenant, v'yisem li segula, remember we said that Hashem says you will be my chosen, my designated, my special, unique nation, and the Jewish people accepted all of that. Then it says, V'omar, and over there it says, V'atem tiyuli mamlechas kayanim v'goy kodesh, we will be a nation of priests and a holy nation. V'hine heim kedoshim. So now, after they've gone through that incredible experience, that process, that acceptance as well, now the next step. What's the next step? He says, V'hine heim kedoshim, now they are holy, re'uyim, they are worthy, she'yihye bahem mikdash, that they should have an actual sanctuary, a special designated holy place, La Hashreis Shchinasai Beinehem, that Hashem should rest his Shechina amongst them, and he'll say soon, permanently. Everything that happened at Matan Torah as a one-off experience happens in the Mishkan as a constant day in, day out experience. The Mishkan is a reenactment of Matan Torah day to day, moment by moment, year by year, and that's the ideal. That's what we're hoping to have a rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, where we have Hashem revealed in our midst. So that's in the Ramban's idea. Let's see, I'll read a little bit more inside how he says it. So he says like this, so that's why first they are commanded about the Mishkan. They should have a special house which is designated holy for the sake of Hashem. Visham, and what's one of the main things that happened there? Visham yidaber im Moshe, just like at Matan Torah. What was the main part of the experience? It's true. They saw great revelations of godliness, all the angels, everything amazing. But the main thing, the voice of Hashem to give them their command, how to live their life. So according to the Ramban, the main aspect of the Mishkan is that's where we have our communication with Hashem. Now, in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, he got most of the communication with Hashem. But the Jewish people did as well. Later on, after the times of Moshe, and then we come to the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash, every time a Jew would come to the Beis HaMikdash and bring a korban, it seems like a very materialistic, physical thing, bringing an animal, they were communicating with Hashem. And according to the Ramban, Hashem communicates and gives all of the direct commands that needs to happen through the Mishkan. So he brings here Pesukim and he says like this, that's where Hashem speaks to Moshe and Moshe commands the Jewish people. And therefore, according to the Ramban, V'hine ikar hachafetz achefetz, who b'mishkan mokay menuchas hashchina shehu ha'arayin. According to the Ramban, the main, if you want to say, the most important vessel and the most important part of the Mishkan is the place where the arayin is found. What happens by the arayin? That's where Hashem's voice comes through, from the top there, from between the two kruvim. Nobody saw it. There was in the Holy of Holies, and there was the pareichas, and everything was covering. But nevertheless, Moshe would stand right outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the voice came through there. The reason I'm stressing this is because this is different to the Rambam's view. If you learn in Hilchas Beis HaBchira, which many people learn at certain times of the year, about the Beis HaMikdash, the Rambam's view is that the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, is a place for bringing karbanos. So the main vessel then would be the Mizbeach in a sense. But according to the Ramban, it's the communication with Hashem, which does include the revelation of godliness, and that's the Arayin. It doesn't practically matter very much, but it's just fascinating. Obviously, they're both valid views, but it just shows us that there's a really twofold thing that happens there. There's Hashem communicating with us, and us communicating with Hashem. When you bring a korban, it's you coming close. The Arayin shows Hashem's revelation. And that's what the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan is all about. It's that place in this world, so to speak, where we have the meeting of both things, of our connection to Hashem, Hashem's connection to us. In other words, that's where the relationship is really, in a sense, it's like the home. That's what it is. That's why it's called the home. And the Kodesh HaKadoshim is the most intimate, the most beautiful, the closest place that you come to in your connection to Hashem. So you can see a very beautiful thing how the Ramban says. I'll just tell you the rest of the Ramban orally, and he says something else very beautiful. He says that when the Jewish people experienced Har Sinai, and as we said, they had the most incredible revelations, and the heavens opened up, and they saw the way the angels camped and everything, they were so jealous. And like, it was a moment of, you know, revelation, and then it was all closed up, and they said, "We want it. We want what we saw up there. We want down here." Now you would think, well, you're just people, limited physical people, you can't have it. But that's not the message. Hashem says, "You want it so much, I'll give it to you." And what does Hashem do? He gives them exactly a replica of what's going up in the higher realms. He creates that down here. And the Mishkan is the center, and around that the Jewish people camped. Very similar formation to how the Malachim on high. So it was a magnificent thing. And that's why the Ramban also shows us that every time Hashem appears and reveals himself and communicates with Moshe, it's similar. Very similar to Har Sinai is in the Mishkan and for the future generations. So that's, we can see already a little bit of an understanding of what the Mishkan is. But it is very cold today in here. I tell you, I think it's off. Oh, it's not off. Oh, I thought he turned it off. I know, I'm sorry, Leah. I heard you. Okay, you must have forgotten. sorry. So, yes, sorry about that. We'll just have to really warm up with the learning. So, what does Hashem say here? So what this is, a very, very beautiful idea, is that what we're going to have to see is how every part of the Mishkan really is about our connection to Hashem, about how we make ourselves a home for Hashem, and every aspect represents a different form or a different part of our relationship with Hashem. And that's what we're going to have to see as we go through. So everything is so amazing and so relevant. Let's look into number two. We'll just follow through, see a few layers of the different mefarshim, how it works. So the second number two is the Rabbeinu Bechaye, and he says beautifully, oh, this is going back to a different pasuk. So the beginning that we didn't read today, because Rona asked before, what is Truma? That's the name of the parsha. And remember we said in the last week when we read it, we said that we tikhu es trumasi. That was one of the psukim. Take for me the truma. The truma was the portion that you set aside for Hashem, whether it be the machtsa shekel. Remember we mentioned there were three trumas, two that were given as machtsa shekel, the two half a shekels. One of the half a shekels were for the karbanas, for the sacrifices. One of the half a shekel, we said, were for the what we call the adonim, the silver sockets, which held up the base. They were the base of the Mishkan. And then that was the two donations. And then there's a third donation, and that's all the different materials. And that everybody gives, asher yidvenu libay, however much they want. The first two, very exact amount. The rich person doesn't give more, the poor person doesn't give less, everybody equal. But the third kind, there you have everybody giving as much as they possibly want. And what we find, we're not going to see it today because today we only have the commands. It's later on in Parshas Vayakel when they actually did do the donating. It is so magnificent and so beautiful. The Jewish people rushed beyond and they gave so much. It's, I think, the only time that ever in history, anybody who is communal and has to collect money, that's right, they had to say, "Die, enough, don't come anymore." Could you imagine? But this is really a So, but this.
Exactly the same as today.
It's right, Rona. Exactly, exactly. Every shul will tell you. Exactly. So it's every school and shul, every Jewish organization. So the truth is, though, what's very interesting is that the truth is that really, really, we have the potential for that. And in truth, we do find, and this is something actually to give us inspiration for the people who are in charge many times of collecting the money, that they should realize that the Jewish people have it in our DNA to, yes, be very giving and very, very generous. And it is possible to get what you need to make the Mishkan. Yeah, even more, exactly. Okay, but let's see over here what he says. Tikhu es trumasi, number two. Take my truma. So he says, achar shehizkir nedivas halev, after it mentions in the pasuk the fact that everybody will give as much as their heart wants to donate, yachas hatruma elav. Then Hashem uses the word trumasi, it becomes my truma. What does that mean? Sha'amar trumasi, ki az yiyeh ritzoynai davek bahem. Because when the Jewish people are giving from their heart, not only exactly how much they have to give, but how much they want to give, they really become glued, one with Hashem. Not only they become one with Hashem, but Hashem becomes one with them. As he says, ki ein rotzen Hashem yizbarach, bitzorei ha'ayin, a very strong language. Hashem doesn't like the stingy people. Yeah, yeah, that's exactly. That's the one he accepted, the one that came with the generous spirit. It's what you intend. It's not the amount, but it's the inside what you intend. So the person who gives it with a generous heart, that's what Hashem wants. Hashem doesn't want somebody, the word tzari'ayin is an interesting one. Literally, it means like stingy, but it means, tzari'ayin means somebody who, you know, when if you inspect it like exact, you know, and you like begrudging, you just don't want to give it, that's Hashem doesn't actually, he accepts. But until it hurts you, very good. Yes, And then, that's the Rabbeinu B'chai. Let's see the Kli Yakar. Ah, now the Kli Yakar, we'll analyze, and it's a bit long, but we'll do some of it inside. And as we just mentioned, there are three different types of truma, the two that are prescribed and the one that's however much you want to give, all the different materials, and everybody gives in accordance to what they want. So we would think that the greater ones, the greatest of all, is the one that you give according to how much you want. And it's true. It is great because it's free choice, you know, and it's showing your generosity. But the Kli Yakar says there's also an advantage in the half a shekel that everybody gives equally. And let's see what the advantage to that is. So he says, V'hine karav l'shmaya tamachar, we can hear a different reason, al mashayachas shtei trumas rishaynais el Hashem yisparach, v'loy hashlishis. So he says that in the first two, let me see the pasuk, I'll show it to you how the pasuk says it, and you can see what he's saying here. In the first one it says, v'yikhu li, truma, take from me, which means tashem, and then it says, me'eis kol yishu asher yidven aliba, tikhu es truma, see? And then it's, truma si, the second one, my truma. And then the third one, which is the ones that they give according to how much they want, that just says vizois hatruma. This is the truma. So it doesn't actually, so to speak, designate it to Hashem. Let's see what he says. He says a very beautiful thing. He says, why? Why is that the case? He says, because lefisha b'chol makim sheyesham geder anava v'hachna'a shom chivyoin uzay shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu hashoychein estika u'shval ruach. Very beautiful thing. That in the two half a shekel places, everybody is giving equally. There's no possibility at all of one person saying, look how much I've given. Where's my plaque, right? You know, nobody can be prouder than the next. It's all equal. So it's all done with humility. It's something you have to do, but it's not just that. Everybody feels equal. Not only that, but the wealthy person can feel a little bit demeaned almost sometimes because he wants to give more, because he has more to give, but no. Now you are coming exactly like the poor person, the same. And there, that's what Hashem associates with very openly. Isn't it? This is a very magnificent thing. So here, so let's see how he says. He says like this: Lefichach shnei trumas rishayna shahisa yad kol adam shava b'hem. So the first trumas where everybody was equal. V'ein makim l'shum echad l'hispair al chaveirei. Nobody can be proud over his friend and, you know, be arrogant. Leimar trumasi gedayla mitrumaseich. Mine is greater than yours. Oysan yachis Hashem yisbarach elav. That's where Hashem actually associates himself to that. V'chein adavar hanasim in Shnei HaTrumas Elu Doime El HaTruma Atzma Ki Kashem Shekulan Hayu Shavin Bazeh Sorry, Shavin Ba Kach Nasa Mitruma Achas HaAdonim. So what do we do with these two trumas that everybody's equal? So the first one, we said you make those sockets. What are the sockets? They are underneath all of the beams. They're the bottom of the Mishkan. They're silver sockets. So the entire set of silver is melted down, all the machzah shekel, and exactly the same item is made, because it's just goes all the way around the Mishkan, from everybody's, right? So in other words, it's my silver and your silver is going to the same part of the Mishkan. That's one thing. And the other thing is, what does this Adonim represent? So he says a very, very magnificent word here. He says, V'hayu ha-tachtainim, they were the bottom, they were the base, le-kol ha-binyan, to the whole structure, ka-askufa ha-nidreses. Most of the time, this is used in a negative way. But here, the Kli Yakor is showing that there is something very positive. What's a skufa and a dress? A doormat. You know, we say to somebody, don't make yourself a doormat, where people will trample on you. But here, he's saying it in a positive way. Sometimes, it's not so bad. We don't always have to assert ourselves, even though that's not the Western way of thinking, but in Torah, we don't always have to be known. We don't always have to be unique. We don't always have to be special. We can blend in with everybody else, and there is an advantage to that as well, and not to be better than anybody else, and even to allow somebody to step on you. It's okay, because the Adonim, what do they hold up? The entire structure. Now, if you imagine yourself as a doormat that's allowing people to enter to something holy, what could be more beautiful than that? It's like, you know what the picture we would use? It's like when a parent plays with a child, and you know, you see sometimes a parent could be on the floor and the child could climb on the parent. The parent is thrilled. Otherwise, you don't want anybody climbing on you. But when it's your child, you love it. So if you think of everybody else as people that are beloved to you, and you are enabling them to stand firm, what could be more beautiful than that? So that's one of the beautiful messages, as you can see right away, Vayikhu li truma. And this is the first truma, the machzah shekel, as we say for the Adonim. Yeah, the Adonim, the one that goes for the sockets, yes. Let's see what's the next one, he says. Another beautiful thing from the second part, which is also the Machzah Shekel. So he says, he says, Kikol ha-mashpil atzmoy, anybody who lowers themselves, HaKadosh Baruch Hu magbihay, Hashem lifts him, v'oysay yisayit, makes him the foundation, v'noysay, and the one that carries, l'chol ha-binyan, to the entire structure. If you lower yourself, Hashem will lift you. And that's really the only lifting, only when Hashem does it. V'chein milas nasi. And what is the word nasi? Nasi means to carry. But nasi is the prince, the head of the Jewish people, is called the nasi, right? That's what a prince is. Interesting word. So nasi means to carry. When we think of leadership, we think of somebody who other people are doing the carrying for, or is above others. In Yiddishkeit, it's the other way around. The true leader is the nasi. He carries everybody else. He's willing to put everybody else on his shoulders, on her shoulders. A very beautiful, it's an imagery, but it's very powerful and very important because it really signifies what it really represents. And that's what he says, Noisei es acherim, carries the others. Ki kulam nishonim olav, everybody is leaning on him. Umi truma shniyah, so from the second truma, hevio karbonas tzibur, another set of half a shekel. That went for the karbonas that we know, which we call the karbonas tzibur, those public communal karbanis. Shahayu gam kein shavim b'chol yom, they were equal every single day. Keves b'baiker v'ashniya ben harbayim, right? Every single morning and evening, that's why we daven shachar sem mincha, corresponding to these two carbon tamids that they brought. V'ksiv zivchei elekim ruach nishparak. Good morning, good morning. Not at all. There is another paper I'm sure we had. Thank you so much, Surya. Good to see you, Elma. Okay, so we know the famous pasuk that it says in Tillim that a broken heart, that's what Hashem, that's the sacrifices of Hashem. What is a true sacrifice? When we offer Him our broken heart, writes a Leimar, Tachlis hazvachim. What's the purpose of all the karbanis? Lahavias ha'adam lidei ruach nishbara, to bring a person to have a broken heart. V'al ken yechse gam kenei lav yisbarach. And that's why this is also attributed and connected to Hashem. Shenemar tikhu es truma. See, again, Hashem puts Himself into it. Take my truma. So He is part of the process. But Aval, truma shlishis, the third set of truma, which was the one that everybody donated, the gold, the silver, the copper, all the individual ones. Shloi hoyu akol shavin, not everybody was equal, ba ki ha'asher anaisin harbe, yeshloi makam lis, nasas ala ani. So the rich person who gave more, he can feel himself a little bit above the poor person. Leimer yeshli chela gadol b'bayis beis alekeinu. I have a bigger part in Hashem's house. Because that's what he can actually feel. It's not only at the beginning. But we know that happens even nowadays. When they walk into shul, they say, well, I really, you know, I have a few more seats than you really, you know. It's all due to me that it's standing. It's human nature. But as the Kli Yisrael says, this is human nature. But it's not a positive thing, but it's a fact. What, obviously, we try to hold it in and we have the attitude, but still, it's there. So therefore, because of that, so what happens because of that? And it's still important to give as much as you can and to give more. If you're a rich person and you give like a poor person, that's not a positive thing at all. But still, nevertheless, there's still that slight feeling of importance that the person, because he's given more. So therefore, he says, just want to see where we are. Alemer Yeshda, that's right, I have a greater portion. Alkei Nasu Mimenu Kolkli. Hakayidesh, right, that's why all of the vessels were made from it. Ubli Safik Shahaya Yisrael Liktsasam Al Ktsasam, right? There was definitely some people who had more than others. Afapi Shekfi Ktushas Akelim. Hoya Loila Hakadosh Baruch Hu Liyaches Nedavazu Eilav Yisparech. And the truth is, because the vessels, which are so holy, are being made of these donations, really that should have said Hashem's name much more with it. It shouldn't have just said Truma. It should have said Truma Si. But it doesn't, because of this aspect. Very interesting. You see how it's quite incredible how the Kli Yisrael shows us. It's a very fine thing, but it's a very important thing. He says, but still, mikol makom be'achar shemitzad givis hanedava hayosham tzad gaiva v'snasus. But because there was this slight sense of arrogance, lamar be'al hamamit, the one who gave more than the less, al kein le'yachsa kadosh baruch elav. So Hashem Himself doesn't, so to speak, openly associate Himself with it. Ubazer ra'isi letaritz kushya achas. And then he says another very interesting question. I'll tell you this orally. When we read it, we just saw, we read all the 13 items. First gold, then silver, then copper. So it seems that it's going from what's more valuable to what's less valuable. But then at the end, they put these precious stones. Those precious stones were really the most valuable. Why are they at the end? Why put them at the end? So the Kli Yisrael says it's for two things. First of all, like this. So that the rich person should to check him in, to say to him, listen, I know you feel important, but really, to Hashem, it's no difference what you've given. Even if you gave the most precious gems, look, Hashem counts that last. It's not the first, it's the last. So it means that to Hashem, every item is as important as the other. And if the poor person was only able to give a woolen piece of wool, whatever it is, some of his, what they shore off their sheep, that's precious to Hashem, as much as this amazing stone that somebody was able to give. Another thing that we say, and this is unfortunate, but we'll get to it another time, is that the Nesiim, who are supposed to be the ones everybody's supposed to lean on, they made a bit of a mistake, and they looked at themselves as Nesiim, which are above everybody. And what did they say when it came to the donation? Again, this is separate, a famous thing, last. We'll wait. Everybody will give, and whatever's missing, you know how some people say, let me know, wake me up when it's all missing, you know, let everybody else do all the work donating, when whatever's at the end, we'll fill in. You know, a lot of people have this attitude. Fine, usually it works, because there's always something missing. Here there was nothing missing. The Nesiim were devastated, but Hashem made kindness to them and allow that something should be missing, so to speak, these precious stones that they were able to donate. But they were listed last because this is not the attitude. The attitude is that you rush, you give quickly, and it whatever you have are able to give, that's precious. So also another part, it's very interesting, goes both ways. Sometimes it could come from an arrogance, and sometimes it could come from an insecurity. And a person could feel, well, mine is nothing. What? You think they need it? You think it matters if I'm going to give that? All these fancy rich people, they're giving all of this and this and this, and me, mom, I'm going to come with my schmecky little thing. So that, no, the Torah says, no, that's not the way we look at it. You give with your full heart what you can give, and that is so precious to Hashem, as long as it's with your full heart. And that's the main point. So you can see it comes both ways, and it's quite magnificent. I want to go on, I know, because time goes so fast. Let's see number four. So that was the Kli Yomer. Let's see how the Aruch Chaim explains this whole idea. I've sort of bracketed it on number four. It's in the middle of the paragraph, to the back. If you can see, it's like sort of the third line to the bottom of that paragraph. It says that there was v'yikhuli, right? And you shall take for me. So what does it say? And oydirtzu b'teisef esvav lirmais shekvar kadam dover achar. That really something comes before. In other words, v means and, which means it comes after something. What is the donation coming after? So he says v'hu nidvas libay. What comes first is the heart. So you have to be generous of heart. Then you physically take the item. But you first have to feel it and want to give it and be filled with that inspiration, as he says, Kirmoiz b'saif dvarav, as it is hinted to at the end of his words. Sha'amar asher yidvenu libay, whatever the heart wanted to give. V'l'derech sayyidabra kasav gam b'trumas ha-mishkan. That's the way Hashem spoke also when it came to the actual truma that they gave towards the mishkan, as we're saying, the specific items, because this applies to the machtza shekel as well. V'yachpetz Hashem shekol nedava tiyami leiv. The Aruch Chaim tells us that Hashem wants every single donation to be done with the heart. V'loisiyah nesina at shetaktim ha-nedava b'leiv. First want. But we know in Torah that tzedakah, even if you don't want, it's also a mitzvah, and you give it even begrudgingly, because the bottom line is to give, right? That's the bottom line. But obviously, when we're growing as people, we want to do things in the best way possible. So the best way possible is for a person to cultivate that they should want to give. Again, the reason that Torah stresses it so much is because it knows human nature. And it's not so easy to give. That's not the way. I mean, some people are lucky and are born givers. There are people like that. But it's not the majority. The majority of people will give to people they love, but it's hard to give something away, and it's human nature. We feel insecure. Whatever it is, there's lots of reasons why. We're just, by nature, born self-absorbed, so we need, right, for us. But here the Torah is showing us the Mishkan. This is the idea of having the Mishkan within us, this physical, tangible building. This is a constant reminder that we are not limited by our nature. And we can grow to the sense that all our giving can be done with generous heart, with wanting. We have to develop it. It doesn't come naturally. So let's see now quickly to do the last one, number five. He'll sum up a lot of it is the Malbim. Malbim says very, very beautifully on this whole idea of Ayikhuli. So he says, number five, Ayikhuli. Hitna kama pratim. There's sort of many conditions, details of many conditions. Let's see what he says. First of all, loy amar vayitnu li truma. It doesn't say give to me truma sh'az haya mitzis asei v'chiyuv al kol echad litain. V'Hashem ratza sh'truma zutiye minid vaslev ratzenchavshi. First of all, it doesn't say directly when it comes to the Mishkan that everybody vayitnu li truma, because he wants it to be that the person what they want to give. So everybody what they want. So it's not like you have to, so to speak, on that part. As we know, we have both kinds of mitzvahs, and that's what's beautiful here. You see the whole range, if you want to say. Okay, that's one thing. Then he says, Beis, li lishmi. What does lishmi mean? For the sake of Hashem. Shelo ye'erav beruchai pnia chitzainis. There shouldn't be any ulterior motive. Lihis kabed, okay, that you should get honor. Oy lihis bar binidvasai, that a person should be proud of his of his donation. Oyal menas lekabla pras, or to get a reward or kedaima. That's another thing. Rak l'shem Hashem bilvad. We should be giving it just for the sake of Hashem. Then it says shayikhu truma. Right. This is a very important thing. We're going to see in a minute. I'll tell you a few other things. It doesn't say yitain in Hebrew. It should say give is to yitain, to give. But rather, it says yikhu, which is to take, which is a very funny language. So he says, why does he say that shayikhu truma? Shanoisein lo yitain kol rechushay. Rak truma bilvad. And we did mention this. Why is it called a truma, as Rona asked? What does a truma mean? Truma, we said, according to Rashi, was lehafrish, to separate, to designate. Because the mitzvah is that you have to take a certain portion of what you have and put that aside for Hashem. According to the Torah, a person is not allowed to give everything they own to tzedakah. That's not the way the Torah works, because I think in the language of the Rambam, that's a fool, because then he's going to need tzedakah. So that's not the way the Torah looks at it. But nevertheless, you can give a generous amount. And obviously, the problem becomes, because we're so subjective, is how much do we really need for ourselves? That's where the problem becomes. But anyways, that's its own discussion. But as we can see, it's setting aside, designating a portion. So that's also why we have this language of truma. And then he says, me'eis kol ish, from every man, shekvar bi'arti shebemokim shebeloshen lekicha, al shalei keach min hanoisein, birotzein derech matana. Very, very beautiful. Because what's happening over here, he says, he's explained it other places, when it says to take, it means that you are taking from the giver in a way that the person really wants to give, in a way of a present. And he says, Yesh hevdel bein loshen kach mimenu u bein loshen kach me'itai. So in Hebrew it's very, very similar, but he says that actually it signifies two different things. Let's see what that means. Shekach me'itai, when you say take from him, mitzayin shenoisein birotzoin, Taiv, that he gives with a good will, sheloi al yedei shum hechrech, he's not being forced, not being compelled. Ubazeh b'mashakosav me'eis kol ish, so that's why he uses that language, from every man, mitzayin sha'noisein hu bal rotzein hu b'chira, the one who's giving wants to give, he's choosing to, v'noisein b'taivli, by giving with all of his heart. And the fifth thing, shelo yachshavu, shelo yikhu nedav azois rak min ha'ashirim v'roshei ha'eda, this is a command actually for the people who will be doing the collecting, that they shouldn't think that they should only take from the wealthy people and from the heads of the congregation. So that's why it says, me'eis kol ish. That's why we have that language. Everybody. A lot of times you have that where people will, generally speaking, let's say they will make a collection for something, and either it's because they're worried about people, let's say, or it's just because they don't want to waste their time. So they say, why should I go get the few pennies? You know, that's how much is it already going to add up to? I'll just go to the people who can give me a sizable sum. We see here in Torah, it's not the Jewish way. The Jewish way is a very interesting thing, because it's not about, even though it is about how much you need, but it's not. It's not about, you know, so to speak, the end. The process is just as important. The giving of tzedakah is so important, no matter how little we give. And that's why in Tanya, actually, the Alter Rebbe explains beautifully that even the best way to do it is not even to give a lump sum, rather to spread it out. Because every time that you give, you're getting another mitzvah, which means you're getting closer to Hashem. So if you have a lump sum that you want to give, let's say you want to give $1,000 a year to something, best is every month, let's say, to set aside the $100. That's actually better. And then give it together if you want. You don't want to bother them, you know, with the little bits. But for you to physically set it aside in little bits. And this also has to do with the person who could only give a little bit. That's also okay. Every little bit, because it's the mitzvah of giving that's what matters.
So this is how it comes from, that when you dive in the morning, you've got to put toy.
Exactly, exactly right. It actually says in Tilim, it's this beautiful pasuk, that v'ani b'tzedek ech zeh panecha, that we want to see Hashem each morning, and before davening you're supposed to, because tzedakah is the way that enables us to actually get a connection to Hashem, and then we can actually have it. That's why you can see the Mishkan, first the donation, then Hashem didn't need our donations, he could have done it any other way. How does Hashem reveal himself to us? First we give. Then he comes, then he reveals. Very, very beautiful. Yechana, thank you for pointing that out, but that's what you see. So that's another point. Let's see. I'm sorry, I hope it's not. It's a lot of repetition, but it's just so beautiful, all the different layers, and I just don't want to miss, so hope I'm not boring anybody. Let's see number, what was the next one? Okay, then number Zion, the seventh one, he says, oh, I think he uses the language, afchotechad, even one string, you know, everything matters. And then Remez Mashamar David Alav Hashem, so what David HaMelech says, ki mimcha hakolu miyotcha nosnu lach, another important thing, why it says vayikhu, and this has to do with the whole attitude that we have when we give. Who are we really giving from? Is it ours? It's not ours. What a joke. Everything comes from Hashem. Hashem, we were lucky enough that Hashem put the deposit in our bank. And so we are so fortunate that we can take something from which we have been already given. And that's the attitude. So that's a very important one. As he says, Kol ha-kinyonim mityachsim l'Hashem. Every acquisition that we have really is Hashem's. V'shaloyheim, and they all belong to Him. V'einam shala adam, and they don't belong to the person. Rak be'eish shemisnadev l'shem Shamayim. When do they become ours? When we donate them for Hashem's sake. Oz hu zoyche bohem. Then he merits with them. Sheyachshav ke'ilu hu shaloi. Then they become his. Very beautiful thing. What is truly yours? Only what you've given away. And there are beautiful stories of this. This one story, actually, recently, like 200 years ago, there's a very famous, in Germany, there was a very, very wealthy man. He was very close to the Kaiser, you know, to the head. And this man, I don't know, maybe some anti-Semite decided to tell him some stories, whatever. So he decided that he wanted a full accounting of what this man owns. I don't know, maybe they said he wasn't paying enough tax, whatever it was. So this guy, he comes with his accounting, so to speak, and he gives a number of how much, you know, how much he's worth, so to speak. And the Kaiser looks at him and he says, that's not possible. I know for a fact, because he knew a lot of his assets, even just this and this, and this is already worth much more than what the number you've given me. So he said to the Kaiser, and Shimshin something, wartime, where he said to him like this, this number that I'm giving you, this is the money that I've given away this year. That's all that I own. This is the money I gave to tzedakah. All those other assets, they're mine today. You could take them away in 1 second. They don't belong to me. They're nothing to do with me. This that I have given, that you can't take and nobody can take. And that is mine for eternity. So this is really the lesson. This is what the Malbim says. And it's a very amazing attitude. This is the way we look at everything, the Jewish way. That's already showing us what the Mishkan does for us. Okay, so we're starting, as we say. Let's go a little bit more. I want to just see, there was a few more small things. Ah, that's right, I remember there was a very beautiful pshat, I think the Al-Sheikh explained also, on this concept of vayikhu, again, the word to take. Yeah, what sounds a bit funny. So, what's it?
Yeah, why not a bit slow?
Yeah, I know.
It's meant to be voluntary.
Yes, yes.
Why?
Take. Yes. So, okay, so the Al-Sheikh says very practically, he says, because what's the process? So he says, what's supposed to happen is that when Moshe Rabbeinu will tell the Jewish people this command, they're supposed to go into their tents, close the doors, and now, how much do I have? Right? They had lots, remember. So now what they're going to do is, in their tents, they're going to take, they're going to take from their chests of jewels and all the other items that they have, and they're going to make a big box full, so they're going to take from what they have, that's what they have to do, inside, and then they view, then they're going to bring it. And the Al-Sheikh says, what's also very important about that, and it's also a very beautiful thing, because a lot of times, as we said and saw in the Kli Yakar, a lot of times the problem is when we're giving. That's where the arrogance comes in. And if you, let's say, sometimes people will like, with a flourish, you know, write a big, nowadays nobody has checks, but you know, you write a big check and you make a big deal out of it. Do it in the privacy of your home, the Al-Sheikh says. Nobody sees what you have, what you don't have. Nobody sees exactly how much you're setting aside. And nobody could say, and that's what some people do sometimes, oh, this person is giving 10% of what he has. This person's giving 50%. You know, it's like, private, what you, your heart says, set it aside and then bring it. Again, it's done in a more edel way, in a much more refined, kind of a humble way of doing it.
Sometimes, I'm not saying, you need to know and to see.
I know.
And they say, oh, he can, maybe I should give us. Not,
Tarbe Chachma. So Chai, you have a very good point, 100%. Very interesting. I was thinking about that because over here, we're stressing so much not that. And many times the Rebbe used to tell people to do things publicly because it encourages others to do as well. So there is a very big balance here, 100% right. I think that what we have to be careful is that our intention should be right. But you're 100% right. 100%. 100% right. That's it, exactly.
That's why
by Yeah. That's right. That's what we say. That's it. That's it. That's right. That's exactly right. Okay. So that's why it says by Yikhuli. So bring it then. So first you take, set it aside. Then you bring it to Hashem. And then, as he says, Me'ez Kalish, even though your contribution is small, Hashem still will look at it, as the Al-Sheikh says. That's why it says Me'ez Kalish. Hashem is going to look at it. He's going to regard it with importance, value, and it matters to him. I want to see. Oh, another beautiful thing. Oh, Vayikhuli. I almost forgot. Such an important one. Vayikhuli. Take for me. Why take for me? Because Chana, the truth is, when you're giving, what are you taking? Hashem. Vayikhuli. Hashem says, take me. You want to take me? You want me to be part of your life? There's only one way. Truma. Give the donation. Give to somebody else. And as we see, the truma is, here it's physical objects. Your time is very precious. One of the most precious things we have. So whatever we can give, that's the truma that we give. So you see, vayikru li, take me. How? With the truma. You understand how? That's why vayikru. Very beautiful one. Yeah. Okay. And as the language that the Balat Torah says, and this is also to do with Torah, that it's tzedakah, but it's also learning. Torah says, "Shekol mi she'isek b'Torah ke'ilu lo'ikechli." Anybody who involves himself in learning, it's as if they're actually taking me. She'ein lo'il ha'kadosh baruch hu ba'ilamai ela dalid amis shel halacha bilvad. Right? What? Where is Hashem found? In Torah, so to speak. In halacha, in Torah, in tzedakah, in mitzvahs. That's where we find Hashem. Okay, I think that's all I want to see. We did mention this about the fact that it's not the entire money. The Gur Aryeh stresses. Oh, another important thing. Sorry, yes, just sorry. One more thing. Because one of the opinions that we mentioned last time was that the Mishkan, we're going to get to next time. We didn't cover nearly, but anyways, many of the important things of what the Mishkan represents. But the Mishkan is also representing the idea that Hashem forgives us for the sin of the Chet HaEgel, the golden calf, right? So when Hashem reveals himself in our midst, we feel comforted that Hashem still wants to be there. It's like if Chas V'Shalom somebody has an argument with somebody else, or somebody does something really negative to somebody else and hurts them, and then if they come to your home, you know, there's true forgiveness. This is, you know, this means that the relationship is back. So the Gur Aryeh explains this is very specific to the three different types of donations. Because when the Jewish people sinned by the golden calf, so a part of it was with their thoughts, because obviously they were attributing some substance to this golden calf, that it's a god, that it has some power. That was in their mind, right? They gave it some importance. And then the other thing was actually the action that they sacrificed to it. And then the last thing was that a lot of them donated towards it, to actually fashioning it, to making it. With the mind and the action, everybody was equal. Like everybody thought, this is our God now. And everybody thought, let's sacrifice. So that's why we have the two half a shekels. But as far as the giving of the gold, not everybody gave the same amount, just like with the Mishkan. Everybody rushed and gave whatever they could. And that's corresponding to that. We have all the different items that we bring. So in other words, the donating towards the Mishkan, every aspect even of the actual process makes the Jewish people reenact in a positive way what they did negatively for the Egel. Now they'll do positively for Hashem. So it's also a very beautiful process. Just want to see if there was anything else that... Sure. Okay, so it's a very good discussion that... Yeah. Okay, so mainly it was the Erev Rav. A lot of the men, it was quite enthusiastic, the men even, yeah, and that's why the men didn't have much left here, but the women didn't give a drop, as we say. So this is where we see the enthusiasm of the women. We'll see.
Have the power to say to their husbands, no, you can't take
yes, the jewelry, They didn't let them take their own jewelry. They wore them, they put it on. That's what we find by the Mishkan. The women were even taking everything off and everything. And the language that's used is Vayaviu Hanoshim Al Hanoshim, that the Hanoshim, I think Hanoshim Al Hanoshim, that the men by the Mishkan were literally tagging behind the women. The women were so enthusiastic and came so quickly with so much that the men were literally at their feet. That was by the Mishkan. By the Egel, the women were trying to dissuade them, but they weren't listening. They were just blocked up. But we'll get to that when we get there. But we'll stop here. The next week in Mirtz Hashem, we'll see much more in depth also the different spiritual ramifications of the Mishkan before we get to the actual vessels. Mirtz Hashem.